around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. David Langford here again today, and we'd like to welcome everyone today to the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. It's always a great, great joy for us to be able to come to share the Word of God with everyone. I love His Word. I know many of you listening love His Word. You have a voracious appetite for His Word. You want to know more about the Lord. And that pleases the Lord. He wants us to get closer to Him. That's how we obtain favor. Did you know that? God blesses our efforts and can give us immeasurable favor with strangers. And that is something extra. That's kind of like the icing on the cake. Everyone can be redeemed. Everyone can be brought into the kingdom of God through the precious blood of the Lamb. But you always witness in the Scriptures, there's something different about others. Peter, James, and John was always with Jesus. What about the other nine? Where were they? I don't know. They were called of God. There's no doubt they were apostles. But it's an authentic truth that Peter, James, and John were always wanting to be with the Master. They loved their Lord. I left off yesterday when we were leaving the program, and I mentioned 1 Corinthians 11:14, doth not nature itself teach you if a man have long hair, it's a shame. And throughout the years, there's been a lot of argument relative to the interpretation of that passage of Scripture in the King James. And I want to share the NLT, New Living Translation. So, I'm a King James guy, as you all know that. But in the last probably 3 years, I have read a lot of the NLT, and there are things, if you read it, now, they claim they're using the original manuscripts, the Latin Vulgate, the Greek Septuagint, the Syriac, the Masoretic text, all these texts. But there are people who would argue that passage there in 1 Corinthians 11 about the contentious part. And they interpret that to justify their deeds. Well, it's okay. That's what that means. That's not what that means, though. And I suppose the greatest, clearest interpretation I've ever read from other Bible editions, translations, was the NLT. And here's what it says. 1 Corinthians 11:14-16. Isn't it obvious that it's disgraceful for a man to have long hair? And isn't it obvious that long hair is a woman's pride and joy? For it has been given to her for a covering. But if anyone wants to argue about this, all I can say is that we have no other custom than this. And all the churches of God feel the same way about it. Well, what was the custom? Women have long hair. Men have short hair. But in the King James, the way it says it, there many have tried to say that, well, don't argue about the length of the hair. It's a moot point. But the NLT says the custom. And all the churches of God feel this way about it. that women ought to have long hair and men ought to have short hair. What is long? Let your spirit and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God make that decision. What is short? Let the Holy Spirit and your spirit and the Word of God make that decision. I promise you, God and His Word will never, ever lead you astray. The Holy Ghost will lead you into the deeper things of God. That's why I'm studying what I'm studying right now at this present time about when Christ returns to the earth, what actually begins to happen, and the bringing forth of the judgment of the nations and the millennial reign of Christ, what all transpires during that, etc. And there in the end of the millennial, we'll have the great white throne judgment, and following that, we have something called eternity that men will go into. God wants to bless. He wants to bless as never before. It's up to us to seek Him. I want to play a very beautiful song. It's by the Wilbanks. When I speak your name, truly, there is something wonderful about the name of Jesus Christ.
Of you that fills the room when I call Jesus. Mountains crumble in your name, fear and doubt are erased. There is sudden change when I see your name, Jesus. I love to speak your name, I love the presence of you that fills the room when I call to Jesus. Mountains crumble in your name, fear and doubt are erased. There is certain change when I speak your name, Jesus. I call you Savior, my Redeemer, Peter and my friend. You're my Father, my protector.
speak his name, there's power in the name of the Lord. Amen. We began a new series yesterday, Redemption, Retribution, Reward. This 37th Psalm speaks volumes to both the Christian and the sinner, the wicked. I was sharing with you yesterday about the envy that Satan can stir up in the hearts of God's people as they witness the wicked as they seemingly prosper. Thus, in verse 1, Psalms 37, 1, David said, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." As I said, if you watch them, observe them, you can overly heat up your own life. You can become angry. You can become vexed. And you become upset as you observe the wicked as they seemingly flourish, and life is so cordial, life is so easy with them. But in the end, that's really not true, because the way of the transgressor is hard. Satan skews reality when it comes to the children of God. You think about Hunter Biden and the sweetheart deal and all the millions. Look at the debasement in his life. I've not seen what other people have seen on his computer, but he no doubt lives in the gutter. You cannot focus, as David said, on the evildoers. Do not fret them. We do not see, we do not discern the gravity of the place where they are. Thank God you're not where they are. Paul understood the element of human temperament. He admonishes us in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." Be ye angry and sin not. Anger is a good thing if it's harnessed and channeled correctly. Anger can be destructive. It can demolish. It can destroy. This is what Satan will be in the time of the end: angry, vicious, malicious. He will vent, because when God, through Michael the archangel, kicks him out of heaven in Revelation 12, he comes down to the earth and we are given a woe. Revelation 12, 12, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." He's going to be so furious and so filled with anger. We have no way of measuring the anger he will possess. But he will seek to vent that on the earth. And war, death, ruin, rot, decay will flourish in the time of the end. Paul understood a man's temperament, having a temper. My grandpa used to tell me, if a man doesn't have a temper, he's not any good. Steel must have temper. You can use it wrongly, or you can use it in a right way. But I want to share with you where Paul once had an encounter wherein he was slapped upon the mouth because of his temper. He, what you might say, lost a little bit of his self-control. You may have read this. You may have not seen it that way or remembered it, but let me share with you from Acts chapter 23, verses 1 through 5. And Paul earnestly, beholding the council, said, Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God unto this day. You have to understand, that's after his conversion. Now, before his conversion, he thought he was doing what's right. After his conversion, he knew what he had been doing was wrong. So now his conscience is genuine and seeking to do that which is right and just. Verse 2, Acts 23:2, And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. Pop him in the mouth. Then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, that whited wall, for sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law? And they that stood by said, Revilest thou God's high priest? Then said Paul, I wist not, brethren, but he was the high priest. For it is written, Thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. So as Paul is earnestly beholding the council, he speaks of his conscience. I have lived in all good conscience before God and unto this day. And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him, smite him on the mouth, pop him in the mouth. Paul did not embrace being smitten on the mouth graciously. He said, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall. He understood what it meant to get in the flesh, get angry. See, Paul knew the law. He was a student of Gamaliel. History records that Gamaliel was 35th in line from Mount Sinai. From the time Moses received the law, it was passed down to the next man, the number two, the third, the fourth, the fifth. And Gamaliel was 35th in line from Mount Sinai to receive the Mosaic law. Paul was tutored, educated, learned by this man, Gamaliel. And as soon as Paul realizes that Ananias is the high priest, he corrects himself. I wist not, I knew not, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, Thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. That's taken from Exodus 22 and 28. Thou shalt not revile the gods, meaning Elohim, nor curse the ruler of thy people. So after they slapped Paul on the mouth and Paul realized it was Ananias, the high priest, he had a change of heart. But you might say he lost his temper when he castigated the high priest. God shall smite thee, thou whited wall. That's what Jesus had said to the Pharisees in Matthew 23, you whited sepulchers. You paint the outside of the tombs of the prophets. But on the inside, he said, you're full of dead men's bones. Oh, you garnish the outside part. You make it look good. But he said, you're full of rotten decay on the inside. Every young convert that might be listening today, you're young in the faith. You need to understand that many times you will be hated and despised and spoken to in an evil manner by those closest to you, because they know your flaws, your faults, and your imperfections. Your family many times will become your greatest opposition, critical, condescending, demeaning. Maybe not your family, but maybe your in-laws. Maybe your father-in-law, your mother-in-law, their children will rail against you and say many evil things to you. That's part of being a true Christian. Expect persecution. Expect to be castigated. Expect to be criticized. Expect for people to lampoon, and say, you're not a Christian. Why do they say that? They're trying to hurt you. So David says there in Psalms 37 and 1, fret not thyself because of evil doers, those who do evil. Don't let it get under your skin. That's easily said and hard to do. Let it roll off your back like water on a duck's back. You know, duck has so much oil in their body. That's why the water just rolls off them. There's so much oil. Oil and water will not mix. I've never eaten duck, but they say it's terribly fatty. A lot of grease. But that's what gives them that protection to live in the water, get under the water, to get fish, etc. And it doesn't affect them like it would any other creature. Jesus said in Matthew 10, verses 34 through 36, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. You're going to get it from your family. You're going to get it from your wife's family or your husband's family. You're going to get it because they don't live right. So they will dress you down. They will castigate you. They will talk so ugly and heinous to you right to your face. Jesus said, I am come to set a man at variance or alienate or separate him. See, when you get saved, you don't hang around the same people. You don't go to the same places. You don't do any of the same things. Why? You're supposed to be a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I have been back now serving the Lord for over 45 years. There are some of my old running buddies I've never seen since June the 6th on that Saturday night, 1978. A couple of them I have seen. One of them did like me. He repented. He got right with God. He got back in church. Once in a while, every, 10, 15 years, we'll touch base. Actually, he was one of my roommates at one time. He was a locksmith. And I had a police officer also as a roommate. And needless to say, we did some things that just weren't right. But that's what sinners do. I'll leave it at that. But Jesus says, when I sever you, when I cut you off, I'm going to cut you away from those that will seek to bring about your demise, pull you down, hurt you, harm you, injure you, destroy you. Many times that is family or, quote unquote, in-laws, outlaws, whichever they are to you. But they will talk so evilly about you and to you about your life, and you're really trying to live for the Lord. See, that's how Satan wreaks havoc in a young convert's life. He doesn't want you to get the opportunity to let your spiritual roots really go deep in the Lord. He does not want that to happen, because the deeper you grow in the Lord, you are known as the planting of the Lord. The longer a tree is planted and lives in the soil, the stronger it becomes. You can take an oak tree, set it out as a little seedling, little tree, foot 18 inches tall. You can walk over with your hand, just jerk it back out of the ground, kick it with your feet, uproot it. But let that tree grow for 50 years. It'll stop a Greyhound bus, a tractor trailer, and its rig. Why? It has got roots, it is mature, and it is profusely strong. And this is how God wants you to live. This is how God wants you to develop your Christian life. He wants your roots to grow and go very deep in His Word. Psalms 1 is one of the most beautiful, edifying psalms that there is. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, what he delights in, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law, or his word, doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, constantly being nourished, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly, oh, they are not so. They're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Look at the tree by the rivers of water, and the chaff are driven away by the wind. And because of that, he says in verse 5, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The ungodly, the wicked, will not have the opportunity to stand in God's house, God's temple, God's tabernacle, God's congregation. Why? Sin. As I said, I'm really doing a lot of research, trying to piece together, put together, after Christ returns, the second advent along with the first resurrection, then the judgment of the nations. You go to Matthew 25, you see the sheep and the goat nations. Goat nations go to the left. Sheep nations go to the right. They inherit everlasting life. The ungodly, the wicked, are cast away. And while we're here on the earth, we're going to see God's judgment on the wicked. Now listen to this. I want to share this today. In Matthew 25 and 44, then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry or athirst or a stranger, or naked or sick or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Now think about that. There's going to be an aggregation, a collection of all the people. It says after Christ returns to the earth, he's going to separate them. I believe that's the job of the angels, separating the wheat and the tares. Going to separate them. Sheep on the right hand, goat on the left hand. And they're going to be punished, those that are on the left hand. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life. The renowned verse in this chapter, Matthew 25, the renowned verse, verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. This is the plucking out of that in the kingdom which offends God. Listen, people have got things so messed up. When Christ comes to the earth, there's going to be a separation. Remember in the 13th chapter of Matthew when I taught on the wheat and the tares, the buried treasure, the pearl of great price, and the large net? Those were some of the analogies that Christ used. Matthew 13:49, so shall it be at the end of the world or the end of the age. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. They're cut off. Remember, that's what they do. They bind the tares. They cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. I know in my heart, untold numbers of people will die at the second advent of Christ through the cosmic, cataclysmic vicissitudes in the galaxies and what reigns on the earth like an untimely wind when it shakes a fig tree. They're going to fall. There'll be all sorts of cataclysmic events. You'll have the Battle of Armageddon. You'll have all of this stuff taking place. A lot are going to die, but a lot will not die. They will go into this time. All of this will transpire, will take place in Jerusalem in the beginning. God wants us to understand there is protocol, there is procedure. One of the biggest aberrations in Christianity is timing, when, put it in the right place, how and when it will transpire. This is where maturity comes in. These wicked people, it's either five or six times, I need to go back and reread it, five or six times here in Psalms 37, David reiterates that the righteous are going to inherit the earth. He says that repeatedly. He wants you to know the earth is your inheritance. Matthew 5:5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. God has no need for us in heaven. He has need for us here on the earth. He's going to rule and reign from where? Heaven? No, Jerusalem. Heard a guy the other day, God help him. I know he thinks he's right, but he said, we're going to heaven and we're just going to float around on clouds and, some of these cynical false prophets out here saying it's circus, God's got a circus in heaven, got puddings of chocolate pudding ponds, just stupid stuff. It's a joke. Read your Bible. Jesus is coming back here. Jerusalem. He's coming back to the earth. He will rule and reign from Jerusalem. Read Zechariah 14. You don't come up and worship him during the Feast of Tabernacles. the Feast of Booths. He said, that's cool. You don't have to come. See, everybody's still going to have free choice. He said, but you won't get no rain. That'll create famine. That drought will create famine. Your crops will fail. I'm thinking, he's going to allow people to behave like that? Sure. In the millennium. See, God knows my heart. I'm not trying to criticize or grind or indict anyone. But when you get hung up on a pre-tribulation rapture, you fail to go further and deeper with God and see all the things that God wants you to know, wants you to see. The millennial reign of Christ will be unimaginable. And in this 37th Psalm, you will see what God says he's going to do. Thus, David is talking to you and I as believers, and he's talking about the evil doers. So he says there in verse 1, fret not thyself because of evil doers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. David says emphatically, the evildoers and the workers of iniquity will soon be cut down like the grass. They will wither. They will wither. They will wilt. They will melt. They will wither at the presence of God. They're going to have to stand before God. You're going to stand before God. You won't be judged for your sins. You'll be judged for your good works. What did you do for the kingdom? That's evident in Matthew 25. I was hungry, you fed me. Naked, you clothed me. Prison, you visited me. See, it's there in the scriptures. Do we see what's there? Most of us who follow Christ, we witness, we observe the wicked. And the truth is, they do prosper for a while. Moses said, Paul did in Hebrews 11 about Moses, there's pleasure and sin for a season. It appears glorious and great, et cetera, but it's not. But the wicked do prosper, but it is short-lived. Again, as a believer, you can become anxious, you can become bitter, you can become envious, but it appears in the natural world, the wicked are flourishing and the children of God are suffering. Sometimes it does appear that the wicked and evil ones, they live lives of opulence. They live lives of grand comfort, while the believer, we possess very little of this world's goods. We suffer most of the time. We go through hardship. We fight. We battle the enemy constantly. But Proverbs 15 and verse 16 says, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. You know, you take a guy like Hunter Biden. He had an 8 SUV caravan group brought him to the courthouse. 8 vehicles. And you look at that guy and you say, man, you ain't worth all that. That's true. He's not worth all of that. He gets that because of who his daddy is. But you see, you look at that and you say, that's not right. That's not just. I can't get ahead. Look at this guy. Don't fret. Their day's coming. They shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Without repentance, without redemption. This is why there are going to be different levels of rewards. Some people are going to have enormous, voluminous amounts of rewards, and some will have very little reward. Paul spoke of that to the church at Corinth. They're going to be burned up, but their soul will be saved. Their works, they had really no works, but they made it in to God's kingdom. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. I made a statement numerous times. Never seen a U-Haul following a hearse. And lo and behold, a lady sent me a picture. And there was the hearse. And a U-Haul was attached to it, a U-Haul trailer. So now I've seen it. I'm sure it was a joke. It was something novelty. Because where are you going to put what's in the trailer when you get to the cemetery? But it did take away the statement, never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse. Because I did see one. There is a judgment. There's a judgment day for everyone. It will come. We have to be patient. We have to wait on God. But there will be a day when every account will be settled. Every account will be settled. Romans 14, 11, it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, so then every one of us shall give account of himself unto God. I don't know how long it will take for God to mete out his judicial system in the earth, but he will. He will. This is the great thing about the church, the body of Christ. All who are washed in the blood of the Lamb will receive a glorified body. That is something we have no idea. We have no concept. The body will not age. There'll be no pain, no bad knees, no bad shoulders, no diabetes, no high blood pressure, no migraine headaches. None of this will exist in a glorified body because it will be just like Christ. And to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul said, flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So there will be no blood coursing through your veins. Rather, it will be the Holy Ghost of God. As I shared last week, I think, when you do television programs and radio programs, sometimes you don't always remember where you were when you made those statements or addressed them. But I remember addressing it, that 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the protocol, the procedure. And there in verse 38, Paul said, God is going to give it a body as it hath pleased him. There's different types of flesh, birds, fowls of the air, beasts of the field, terrestrial, celestial, but nevertheless, God's going to give us a body as it hath pleased him, and it will be like his body. But we don't understand all of that. I don't understand what it means to have a body like my Lord's. But that's what we're promised, a glorified body. This mortal will put on immortality. This corruptible will put on incorruption. As I said, there'll be no sweat, body odor, refuse. None of that will exist. Your eyesight will never abate, never wane, lessen. Your strength will never lessen. Well, how strong will we be? Man, I don't know, but I promise you, you'll be strong. a glorified body. That's supernatural, folks. I don't know how to measure that. It's more than what we know. Moses was a prime example. He understood the prosperity of the wicked. He had the opportunity to be elevated while living a life of sin. He could have been elevated as the Pharaoh of Egypt. He was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. She found him in the bulrushes in the Nile. Profusely educated. But he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He said, it's not worth it. You see, Moses had the maturity to say, here's what they offer me, Egypt. Here's what Elohim offers me. I'll cast my lot with this bunch of vagabond slaves. And so he did. Riches, sadly, oftentimes corrupt people. Have you ever noticed how many times wealthy people have corrupt names? They're known for having no moral integrity whatsoever. And how many times do wealthy people die an untimely death or even suicide? Some of them didn't mean to overdose and die, but they did. Whitney Houston, Anna Nicole Smith, Elvis Presley, Michael Jackson. I mean, I could go on. Movie stars, Marilyn Monroe, Jane Mansfield. I remember she was decapitated in a car wreck. Every time you see the sordidness of humanity or the evisceration of humanity, you know that is the devil working in the earth. Solomon said in Proverbs 22, verse 1, a good name is rather to be had than great riches. Howard Hughes, borderline genius, died as a hermit. So much wealth, so much money, became almost cynical, crazy in his mind. Voltaire, who led France into atheism, on his deathbed said, O Nazarene, O Nazarene, thou hast conquered me. Jesus wins in the end. I don't care who you are. The Antichrist will be so deceived, he will say, I'm God. Can't nobody cast me down. I have power. Yes. He got his power from the devil, his power, seat, and great authority there in Revelation 13, 2. But Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All, meaning it is superior to any other power. That's why he's God Almighty, leaves no room for anyone else to be as mighty or more mighty than he. He is almighty. Man. Jesus, because of what he did, according to Paul in Philippians 2, he's going to be given a name above every name, and at his name every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. These evildoers will be brought before the Lord. They will have to confess. Now, they may not want to confess it, but they will confess it, that Jesus Christ is King of Kings. Moses had a heart for Jehovah. And because he had a heart for Jehovah, God gave him internal strength. And he turned. Moses turned from the opulence, the riches, and the opportunity to become the next world ruler in his hour of temptation. And in the hour of temptation, you have to make a decision, yes or no. One cynic once said, I don't remember who it was, how to overcome temptation? Submit to it. Just submit to it. Well, you didn't overcome it. It overcame you. That's why that's a cynic that would make such a statement. No, you keep resisting. Again, Hebrews 11:25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He esteemed the reproach of Christ. He highly exalted. He lauded. He embraced suffering of Christ greater riches than all the treasures in Egypt. Do you feel like that today? Do you feel like that today? You esteem, you embrace the reproach of Jesus Christ, greater riches than the riches and treasures of Egypt? For he had respect unto the recompense of reward. He had respect for what he knew God would give him in the end. That's what he embraced. It was not the temporal present things. It was the eternal things. If we could just get our eyes on eternity, the world would not have the power it has to draw us away from Christ, because listen, all of this is going to one day pass away. As I said, if the Lord came today, the earth as we know it would endure for another 1,000 years. But at the end of that, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And 2 Peter chapter 3 says, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Righteousness. Utter, total, absolute righteousness. When we go into eternity, there'll be no sin, no sickness, there'll be no disease, there'll be no death. Remember, death and hell, at the end of the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ, after the second resurrection, they'll be cast into the lake of fire. You and I can't imagine a world like that. And you, Jerusalem, again, where does New Jerusalem come? It comes from heaven down to a new earth. Folks, get your mind off about all this heavenly stuff. We're going to come and reign with Christ in the earth. Jesus will be over in New Jerusalem, a city 1,500 miles square. Can you imagine that? And the city has no need of light. Why? Because the Lamb of God is the light of the city. This is what we are looking forward to. Revelation 21:23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Wow. This is during the new heaven and the new earth. The nations shall bring the glory, their glory and their honor into New Jerusalem. They're coming to visit the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's not in heaven. That's going to be on the earth, the new earth, the new heaven, the new earth. Oh, we've got to get back into the Bible. We've got to get back into the deeper things of God. And don't magnify your problems. Magnify the Lord. Magnify the Lord in all things. Jesus Christ is forever faithful to his beloved. James 1:2 said, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Admittedly, do we all count it all joy when we fall into divers trials or tests or temptations? No, we don't. But James said, count it all joy. Why? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. When we're tried, it brings forth patience out of our hearts. But let patience have her perfect work, that we may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. What a state and a place and a posture to say, I don't need anything. I find as I get older, that becomes more truthful. You know, when you're younger, you want things, you want this, you want that. A child is always grasping and grabbing, pulling things off of the table, pulling things off of the dresser. But then in the end, when men die, their hands are gracefully folded on their breast, and there they lie in repose, not grasping for one thing. That time has come. The time is gone. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. We're going to pick this back up next Monday. Please share the telecast, the programs. Share them with those who have a hunger for the Word of God. I know it'll bless them. Amen.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.